I believe that the Lord God created the universe. I believe that he sent his only son to die for my sins. And I believe that ancient Jews built boats and sailed to America. I am a Mormon, and a Mormon just believes. You cannot just believe.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Troy Williams, who is the executive producer of Radioactive, a progressive talk show on KRCL-FM in Salt Lake City. He is a former Mormon missionary who the Salt Lake Tribune recently named the gay mayor of Salt Lake City. He most recently appeared in the Errol Morris film Tabloid and has an article now at Salon, When Mormons Were Socialists. Welcome to Background Briefing, Troy Williams.
Great to be with you, Ian.
And I've tried to cover the religion aspect of Mitt Romney, and I imagine it will become an issue at some point or other if it hasn't already. And some of the information I initially got was pretty off the mark, that he was a Mormon bishop and that there's an analogy with the Catholic Church in as much as he may be more loyal to the Vatican, in this case the Salt Lake Vatican, and the prophet and his apostles. That's not necessarily the case, is it? Even though Romney did not take advantage of Jack Kennedy's separation of church and state speech, which Santorum said almost made him throw up, he right. Nevertheless, as far as I know, is, let me ask you this. Do we have a church and state problem with Mitt Romney and his Mormonism?
I don't, not to the extent that I think people fear. We do have a church and state issue here in Utah. Right. We like to joke here that the separation of church and state is just two city blocks from the Utah Capitol to the Salt Lake downtown Temple Square. But I think that what we have to understand is that Mormonism permeates every aspect of who Mitt Romney is. It cultivated and shaped who he is, was as a young boy and who he is as a man today. I don't think he's going to be answering to Thomas S. Monson, the current president or prophet of the church, but Mormonism will influence how he views the world. And in that respect, Mormonism will play a big part in the American culture if he is elected president.
Well, as much as I've been able to find out from some of the people who wrote books about him and from the Boston Globe and others who've known him for years, is that he's a bit of a stiff like Al Gore in terms of his public persona, but privately...
You haven't seen him unzipped, according to Ann Romney.
Well, my understanding is that within his Mormon milieu, he's a different person.
Yeah, and I don't know him personally, and I imagine that the public persona is very different from the actual human being, but it's hard to tell who the real human being is with Mitt Romney. He seems to be so politically malleable that he's hard to pin down. I don't even know if I can say how much of Mormonism he truly embraces. He certainly doesn't embrace the Book of Mormon admonitions to care for the poor and the needy when he supports Paul Ryan's budget plan that would slash $3.3 trillion from programs to benefit poor people. That, to me, is a completely anathema to what his spiritual sacred text proclaim.
Well, let's talk about that. Troy Williams, again, executive producer of Radioactive, a progressive talk show on KRCL-FM in Salt Lake City. He has an article at Salon, When Mormons Were Socialists. Your article is fascinating, and not having read the Book of Mormon or studied it, I'm fascinated. The idea.
Have you seen the musical yet?
Well, exactly. But the idea is that there was this Nephite, is that how you pronounce it?
Pronounce it Nephite.
Nephite Nation that was somewhere in the American continent around 6 BC, and the inhabitants of this mythic city had grown decadent, and there were extreme class divisions, and politics were corrupt, and politicians were corrupt, and government disregarded the sick and the poor. And along comes Samuel the Lamanite, who scales the walls of this city of Zarahemla.
Zarahemla,
right. Well, maybe you should tell the story since you're a Mormon.
It's It's a story that the Book of Mormon, of course, Joseph Smith translated it, or claimed to translate it in 1830, but it tells the history of supposedly of God's people living in ancient America that had migrated from Jerusalem in 600 B.C., and a mighty civilization grew up in Central and South America. That's the narrative of the Book of Mormon. But what is central to the text is what we call the Nephite pride cycle, that when the Nephites were a righteous people, God prospered them, gave them material wealth, but then they set their hearts upon their wealth. They disregarded the poor, shunned those who were hungry and in need and who were naked, and became prideful. And then God destroys them, delivers a small righteous remnant out of the destruction, and the story begins anew. This happens over and over and over again in the Book of Mormon, and it's alarming to a lot of Latter-day Saints who see this uber-capitalist who at Bain Capital employed a philosophy called creative destruction that was involved with layoffs and leveraged buyouts and you know, just decimated the lives of so many people so that his investors could get wealthy. That's very alarming for a lot of Mormons to see.
Well, apparently the Mormon God's prophetic message was, if Americans are obedient to God, we will be blessed with riches. If Americans set our hearts on riches and ignore the poor, we'll be destroyed. That's the, I guess, the lesson that you just told us from this book of the unpronounceable names.
The Book of Mormon is an indictment against laissez-faire capitalism.
Well, that's...
Absolutely.
So, but what about the Mormon Church itself today? It's very corporate. These big corporations like Marriott and Safeco Insurance, it's hard to know where they begin and the church ends. And the tithing is, of course, an enormous source of money. And as you mentioned in your article, Troy Williams, at Salon.com, the church has diversified into commercial enterprises. They own television, radio stations, universities, farms, banks. And then they've gone into retail with some big new swanky mall, billion-dollar downtown Salt Lake City mall featuring Tiffany and Michael Kors and Porsche designs, etc. So explain to me what happened to God's admonition that you'll be destroyed if you don't help the poor.
Well, we're calling the brand new billion-dollar City Creek Mall, the locals here are already starting to call it Jesus Christ Superstore. it is a concern. In the Book of Mormon text, the prophet Moroni, and you'll see Moroni in all the Mormon temples, he's the golden angel with the horn on top of the spire of every Mormon temple that you see. There's one right downtown Los Angeles. Moroni, as he's like the last survivor of the Nephite people. He's the actual person who gives the golden plates to Joseph Smith. And he has a prophecy, a vision, where he foresees today. And he actually talks to us, and he says in the text, he says, I have seen your day, and I know your doing, and I know that you do walk after the pride of your hearts, and that you set your hearts upon riches. So it is a concern. This is so central to the text of the Book of Mormon that it is kind of ironic, it's deeply ironic, that this uber-capitalist would be the first Mormon to actually get the nomination for a major political party. Because you have to roll back time. Early Mormons were communitarians. Now, my article is a bit misleading in as much as it says when Mormons were socialists. Mormons were not capital S socialists, right? They were little s socialists. They didn't even like socialists or capitalists or fascists because they didn't want anyone to compete against their own vision, their own utopia. They were communitarian utopianists. That's the best way to describe them. Very different from the church today. The Mormon Church has assimilated into American culture by rejecting some of these central ideas in the early texts.
And in the early texts, of course, not the prophet, but his successor, Brigham Young, in 1848, declared, there shall be no private ownership of the streams that come out of the canyons, nor the timber that grows on the hills. These belong to the people, all the people.
Yeah.
So the faith has sort of become modern American commercial material. Is there such a thing as Mormon fundamentalists? I don't mean in the polygamous sense, but I mean in the economic sense.
Oh, we've got those too. Absolutely. And, you know, a lot of progressive Mormons actually see within their sacred texts a reason to actually support, New Deal kind of safety nets for people. They understand that within that there is actually a role for the government to play in taking care of the needy and the sick. Because as great as church charity is, that's not really democratic, right? But when our government steps forward and helps in areas where others can't, we can really infuse that with democracy and actually liberate people from poverty. We've done it in this country again and again and again. And a lot of Mormons vote Democratic because they believe that party best reflects their own spiritual views. That's the story of my dad. My dad was a New Deal Democrat, and he was a Mormon because, first, he was a big old lefty.
Mm-hmm. So where is the why are you so convinced that this guy is a heartless, typical American CEO, survival of the fittest, social Darwinism and all that?
Mostly just observing his behavior at Bain Capital. Again, back to this idea of creative destruction that comes, from breaking things apart, downsizing things, salary cuts, layoffs. He doesn't see that as a problem. He sees, it's mostly about getting the money that is needed for his investors. And that's the vulture capitalism, whatever you want to call it. I worry that he'll try to run America like he is a CEO.
Right. But, you can make the case, and I've tried in some interviews with guests to make the case that American capitalism itself is in crisis because it's not sustainable in the long run. Capitalism is supposed to be about creating wealth, not extracting it and concentrating it at the top. And he's the archetype of that, and they've rigged America, the 1%, where they don't pay taxes. He only pays 15%. They extract all the wealth they can and then leave the shell companies behind. I think the record's pretty clear on that. Do you expect at some point in the campaign a discussion about the egalitarian roots of Mormonism?
I doubt it, but people like me are going to continue to sort of raise the flag, and we need to continue to have this conversation. I'm really looking forward to seeing what Occupy does this spring and how they push this issue forward. What I want people to know, and what I want people who are involved in the Occupy movement to know, is that they can occupy Zarahemla. They can go to the very sacred Mormon texts that Mitt Romney professes to have a great testimony of, and actually pull out ideas and arguments that actually counter his political worldview. And I encourage everyone to do it.
Well, what about the other interpretation that you mentioned in your article, Troy Williams at Salon, when Mormons were socialists, that Romney's ascendance to the nation's highest office will affirm to the Mormons that their faith is finally authentic, that they are the indisputable Horatio Alger of American religions?
Right. Well, Mormons have been... they've been sort of the queers, right, of contemporary religious faith. They've been the outsider. They've been the fringe, the outcast. And people have been suspicious of Mormons from the very inception because they were trying to establish a theocratic, political, economic system in the heart of a brand new republic. And they had this, unusual alternative marriage practice, plural marriage that they were trying. So they were persecuted, hated, mobbed, driven across the country till they finally landed in Utah. We all know the history. But that psychologically, I think, has done a lot to Mormons. Mormons want to be accepted. They want to be mainstream. They don't want to be this fringe. They don't want people to look at watch Big Love and think that this represents them. They're terrified of that. And so to have a front runner, Mitt Romney, to be a Mormon, it's for many Mormons, it says, hey, we've arrived. We're not freaks anymore. And so I very much see this as an issue of assimilation for the Latter-day Saints.
So what about the polygamy issue, though? Is that likely to come up? I mean, his great-grandfather left the United States to go to Mexico because he was a polygamist, and he picked up a fifth wife in Mexico. He's right. Mitt Romney's got cousins down there who live in this commune, this polygamous commune, and they certainly have an uncanny resemblance to him, that kind of square-jawed G.I. Joe look that he has, So how's that playing? And when you say Mormons want to be mainstream, is that why they sort of so zealously reject polygamy now?
They do, but ironically and sadly, they still have not disavowed the actual doctrine. I mean, Joseph Smith revealed the doctrine of plural marriage in the 132nd section of the Doctrine and Covenants. This is a book of scripture of Joseph Smith's revelations, and it's canon. And Mormons still today believe in posthumous plural marriages. So hypothetically, in the Mormon worldview, if, God forbid, Ann Romney were to die today, Mitt Romney could go to the Mormon temple and be sealed to a second wife. And that second wife, from his perspective, he would have for all eternity in heaven. So Mormons, while they'll spend millions of dollars pushing Proposition 8 in California, saying marriage should be between one man and one woman, in their sacred holy temples are continuing to marry polygamously, men polygamously, in the hereafter. So they haven't come clean with a lot of these issues.
Well, just in closing then, Troy Williams, there obviously another aspect of Mormonism which the rest of the world, I think, looks askance at, and that is this retroactive baptism. Apparently Adolf Hitler's been baptized as a Mormon, so has Joseph Stalin. Anne Frank was recently. The family of, I think, Elie Wiesel objected. Where does that stand?
Well, I was just reading how Thomas Jefferson had been baptized into the church and then sealed to his first wife, Martha, and then sealed to his slave, Sally Hemings, to whom we know mothered several of his children. So the Mormons have made Thomas Jefferson, number one, a Mormon and a polygamist in heaven. And this is bad PR for them, and they have to disavow these practices. Until they do so, it's going to be a source of great embarrassment and a source of and it's so disrespectful of so many people of so many different faiths. And I think for Mormonism to really grow up and become a mature, authentic religion, they're going to have to deal with this.
Well, when I mentioned earlier, Troy Williams, that I'd not read the Book of Mormon, I did actually try to read the first few pages, and it seemed incredibly violent to me. And I'm aware of the Mount Meather massacre story from the wagon train of settlers from Arkansas who were massacred by Mormons masquerading as Indians.
Right.
Where does that stand in terms of Mormon consciousness? Has that been brushed under the table?
It's one of those ugly stains. I think the church has a really hard time taking responsibility for their sins. And the Mountain Meadows Massacre is something that is a dark mark on the history of Utah, the history of the Latter-day Saints. And there's been little movements here and there from the church. The church made a lovely, beautiful monument down there, but again, refuses to take responsibility for their actions. It's like the issue with blacks and the priesthood. They say today, in 1978, there was a ban that black men could not hold the Mormon priesthood. And the church says today, well, we don't know why that actual policy was in place. Yes, we do know why that policy is in place. It's because leaders of the church were products of the day. They were racist. And it's okay to admit that, make apologies, and repent of your sins, and move forward. That's what they teach us as little Mormon kids in primary classes and Sunday school, that when you do something wrong, you need to take responsibility for it, make restitution, and repent. And the church has not done that on the issue with Mountain Meadows Massacre or the issue with the blacks and the priesthood. They're not doing it today with gay and lesbian and transgender Mormons either. And I hope that they will.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today, Troy Williams.
My pleasure. Thank you so much, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with Troy Williams, who's the executive producer of Radioactive, a progressive talk show on KRCL-FM in Salt Lake City. He is a former Mormon missionary who the Salt Lake City Tribune recently named the gay mayor of Salt Lake City. He most recently appeared in the Errol Morris film Tabloid and has an article now at Salon, When Mormons Were Socialists. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me. I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now. Another headline.
fire.